Wednesday session. Carla, could you please call the roll?
Leonard? Fritz?
Here.
Fish?
Here.
Saltzman?
Here.
Adams?
Okay. Yeah, let me just figure out the right agenda item. So our first agenda item is item 1037. Carla, would you like to read that?
Mm-hmm. Improve land use regulations through the Regulatory Improvement Code Amendment Package 5B.
Okay, we have staff come up here for presentation.
Hello.
Hello.
I'm Sandra Wood with the Bureau of Planning and Sustainability, and this is Jessica Richmond with the Bureau of Planning and Sustainability also. We're here to present RECAP 5B. RECAP stands for Regulatory Improvement Code Amendment Package. The Bureau of Planning and Sustainability has been presenting these packages to Council for several years now, and this is our latest rendition of that. Council adopted RECAP 5 in March of this year, and in adopting it, they adopted the bulk of it and directed us to take two items back to Planning Commission for their consideration. Those two items were the development of lot remnants and retaining walls, which we'll get to. In our drafting and review of that, those two provisions, staff also identified five other items that needed to be amended in the zoning code sooner rather than later. So we put those seven unrelated items into a package that we're calling RECAP 5B, and are just to achieve economies of scale and moving them through the legislative process, and are brought that to the Planning Commission, which they held their hearing on June 22nd. And now we're bringing those to City Council to present their recommendation. If you'd like to take a look at page one of the report that contains the table of contents with the seven items, I'll be going in order of those seven items, so you can follow along there if you'd like. The first item is development of lot remnants. The regulations that City Council adopted regarding lot remnants in the regulations adopted in March were different from what Planning Commission recommended. And so Council asked us to take this item back to Planning Commission for their consideration. And actually, Jessica's going to show us here a little drawing of lot remnants, just to refresh your memory. In Recap 5, we were trying to solve a problem that we nicknamed creating something from nothing. And that's where you have a little sliver of a previously platted lot. In this case, let's say this is lot 4, and the dashed line depicts the division between lots 4 and lots 5, which is the original lot lines. And sometime in the past, before 1979, this lot line moved over here. We don't have any record of it because we didn't keep records before 79 for property line adjustments. This is now a little sliver of a piece of property. And that there's a loophole in the regulations that says that this little chunk is developable. So we call that the creating something from nothing, because all of a sudden you have three lots and three developable sites where originally it was platted as two sites. We were closing that loophole in Recap 5 and said, if you have a lot remnant, in other words, a little smaller piece than less than half of the original platted lot, that shouldn't be developable. When we brought it to council, council said, well, wait a minute, what if the lot line moved substantially over and this chunk is actually meets the minimum lot size? Should this lot be developable, this lot remnant? Even though it's only a portion of the original lot, it meets the minimum lot size and a developer or property owner could achieve this through a land division. So your determination in March was, yes, if it's big enough, it should be developable. We took that back to Planning Commission a few weeks ago, and they agreed with you. So that's their feedback.
How many lots are there that have these characteristics?
We didn't do a full analysis. It would take a lot of research to look at the whole city to see where the original platting was about twice the size of what the current zoning allows, and look at the multiple layers of platting. So, and it would have to be, like, this would have to be in the R5 zone, where the lot sizes were platted at twice the size of what the current zoning allows, which isn't very common at all based on our experience, but anecdotal experience.
The key that you're sharing with us is the Planning Commission concurs with our recommendation.
Exactly. Thank you. Any other questions about that? So I'll just keep going through what the amendments are. And so we're on amendment number 2 now, which has to do with retaining walls. This is the second amendment that council requested that we take back to the Planning Commission for their consideration. Prior to recap 5, we didn't regulate retaining walls at all. And you might remember in your hearing in March that Mrs. Betsy Broom came and showed us pictures of a retaining wall that had been built across the street from her house and what a stark surface that was along the street and what an impact that had on the livability. Council had asked, they adopted standards at that time for large retaining walls and adopted standards that limited retaining walls along the street setback to 4 feet high and that they be terraced. So that was your recommendation. And you also put a 6-month sunset period to those standards and asked us to take it back to Planning Commission. In between Council and Planning Commission, we did some research and looked at some numbers of how many retaining walls do we permit. And one of the cruxes of this proposal is that we don't require permits for retaining walls that are less than 4 feet from the bottom of the footing to the top of the retaining walls. So we're trying to jive with what the building code is. So Planning Commission recommends, when we present it to them, that we do adopt permanent standards for retaining walls, but to exempt steeply sloping lots in those in environmental zones. So the standards would be that the first wall along the street would be 4 feet high, the next one would have to be terraced back, and that the second wall and any subsequent walls could be taller than that. And I believe Commissioner Fritz will have an amendment to that, which we can discuss later. Okay. Or now, either.
Maybe let's do it now, because then we keep things in order. I certainly appreciate staff's work on this and your collaboration with our office. I have distributed a substitute amendment to you regarding the retaining walls for when, where, and what size retaining walls can be in the front yard. And I believe these actually better meet the intent of what we were trying to do when we asked the Planning Commission to clarify, to regulate the height of the walls in front yard areas, even with a 3-foot setback. And we also clarified some of the proposed exemptions in environmental zones and steeply sloping lots. So we distributed those to you earlier today, and if anybody has any questions, I'd be happy to try to field them.
Any questions or discussion?
I'd like to hear staff's feedback on the amendment.
Like Commissioner Fritz said, we've worked with her, and we're fine with these recommendations. I think it was the main differences between the recommendations is that we had proposed and Planning Commission had agreed to exempt all steeply sloping lots. Her office felt that exempting downward sloping lots made a lot of sense because if you have a street here, yeah, and you have a downward sloping lot here and the house is in here, to require terracing on the inside of someone's lot for them to look at was a bit much. So that made sense. On the upward sloping lot, we don't disagree that that a large wall along the street is, you know, detracts from the livability of the area. And our big concern was the replacement of existing walls in some of the older neighborhoods. You know, some of these walls have been there for 100 years, and we incorporated that replacement into the code. So we're supportive of these amendments.
Which is still in mind.
We worked with BDS on them, too.
Mm-hmm. So I move the substitute amendment.
Second. Moved and seconded. Any additional discussion on the amendment? Carl, would you please call the vote on the amendment?
Saltzman?
Aye.
Leonard?
Aye.
Fritz?
Aye.
Fish?
Thank you, by the way, for this cheat sheet that you gave us to track the amendments. And it's extremely helpful when we have multiple amendments like this. Aye.
Adams?
Aye.
Amendment is approved. Additional discussion on the amended. Oh, we're not there yet.
No. Nope. Not yet.
Keep going.
Okay. Item number 3, green energy and use. Through recap 5, City Council adopted regulations related to green energy production. Because those standards were woven throughout the code, all the base zones, overlays, et cetera, we inadvertently missed some of those references and provisions. So this amendment corrects those minor oversights and are slightly above a typo. We don't have any amendments proposed to our Planning Commission's recommendation on that. Item number four is historic design review for solar panels. The intent with Recap 5 was to exempt solar panels and eco-roofs from historic design review only if they were proposed in isolation of any other alterations on the site. If they were proposed as part of a larger project, the intent was that they would be reviewed as part of that larger project, and that's consistent with how our BDS's design team reviews them. So this amendment makes that clear, that when they're part of a larger project, they would be subject to those design criteria. Item number five is historic design review for mechanical vents. This one, you also have an amendment proposed by staff on this one, and we received some testimony, which I'll go through. What this amendment does is exempt small vents from historic design review. The exemption facilitates participation in a program that the Bureau of Planning and Sustainability has called the Clean Energy Works Program. We received a large grant for this program, and we are facilitating a retrofit of existing housing stock for energy efficiency. So vents are often required when new appliances are installed in a house. And when a vent to the exterior on a historic structure or in a historic district is required, it triggers design review, which is an eight-week process, $1,200-some. So what this amendment does is exempt vents that are of a certain size, pretty small in scale, from historic design review. Staff is proposing an amendment to the Planning Commission's recommendation, and that is the purple sheet, the lavender sheet, which has completely new code language. The amendments in response to written testimony you received from Peter Meijer, who recommended that wall vents be limited to 6-inch projections from the wall. We didn't have a limitation on how far vents could be projecting from the wall previously, so the 6-inch provides a cap to how big and obtrusive that vent can be. And we are supportive of Mr. Meijer's suggestion and incorporated it into the lavender code. In addition, the State Historic Preservation Office recommended that rooftop vents be able to project a maximum of 2.5 feet from the top of a roof. So we incorporated that also and feel that both of those are in keeping with the intent of Planning Commission's discussion and recommendation.
And to be clear, it's not only when you seal up a house as tightly as we seek to do with the Clean Energy Works, you need sort of one-way venting in the winter months to prevent condensation.
I move the recommended amendment.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. Any discussion on the amendment? Carla, would you please call the roll on the amendment?
Saltzman?
Aye.
Leonard?
Aye.
Fritz?
I happened to be meeting with Art DeMura, the chair of the Historic Landmarks Commission, in my office this morning, and so I ran this by him and asked if he thought that the commission should look at it first, and he didn't think that they needed to, but obviously they could comment if they didn't like what we did, and we could change it again in a future package. But
yes.
He thought it was okay.
We actually took it to Historic Landmarks Commission.
Okay.
Yeah, sorry. Before we took it to Planning Commission.
Excellent.
Yes.
Thank you. I thought it was a relatively new thing. Aye.
Fish?
Aye.
Adams?
Aye. Amendment is approved. Next item.
Next item is number six, design review in Northwest Plan District. During the Northwest District Plan project, Council passed a resolution back in October directing staff to bring forward this amendment, which changes the procedure type for larger projects, and larger projects meaning those that with a valuation of $1.865 million or more in the Northwest Plan District from a Type 2 to a Type 3 design review. That's consistent with most of our other districts that are near downtown or in downtown.
I may have forgotten. What's the significance of $1,865,600 as the trigger?
That's a common question. So that actually, Jessica, do you have historic knowledge on that?
That number used to be $1 million, and then we started indexing it to inflation. And so every year on February 1, we adjust it based on the construction cost index, and that's the current figure. It's used in a number of places throughout the code for triggering nonconforming development upgrades and similar things.
Glad I asked. Thank
Good
you.
Good question, Commissioner Fish. And the final amendment is Irvington Historic District. And this is in anticipation of Irvington becoming a National Register Historic District at the state and federal level. The Irvington Community Association is pursuing that historic designation at the state and federal level, independent of the city. But should Irvington right now is a conservation district, which is a little lower tier on the echelon of historic importance, which means property owners can currently use community design standards, which are embedded in the zoning code. When those standards that the standards contain language right now that's specific to Irvington, certain size pillars and trim around the houses, et cetera. Should Irvington become a historic district, then those community design standards won't be an option to property owners anymore, and we feel that could cause some confusion, so we're proposing to eliminate those references. The amendment removes the standards for Irvington Conservation District, and we've structured the ordinance so that the amendment doesn't become effective until December 1st. And we have a green sheet in front of you, actually, that amends those dates from November 1st to January 2nd. We just received word yesterday that it looks like the soonest, well, not the soonest.
That there's taking longer than we thought, and it may take past November 1st, which is the effective date that we had proposed for these regulations.
Right. So we're thinking January 2nd would be a good effective date, and that the district will become will receive historic status before January 1st, and then the amendments will go into effect after that.
I move the recommended amendment.
Second. Been moved and seconded. Any discussion on the amendment? Carla, would you please call the vote on the amendment?
Aye. Leonard. Fritz.
Aye.
Fish.
Aye.
Adams.
Aye.
And then I have one further amendment going back to the first piece on the lot remnants. And staff fixed it for the rest of the city. But then there's an if you turn to page 7 of your packet, there's a particular set of regulations for West Portland Park. And I need to state that I live in West Portland Park subdivision. It doesn't affect me to a greater or lesser extent than anybody else who lives in that subdivision. Therefore, I'm continuing to participate in this discussion. And I have an amendment in... The amendment that we asked staff to make was in the former 2C with the 2.5 zone, and we're clarifying that the 2.5 zone in West Portland Park is now the same as the 2.5 zone in the rest of the city because that rezoning was done in the Southwest Community Plan. So there wasn't the intent to keep our 2.5 zone in West Portland Park at 2,500 square foot lots. It can match the table. In looking at this, staff helpfully tried to clean up the code language to match the rest of the city and moved D to part 2. But my amendment, which I distributed to you on the white piece of paper, has a substitute section 2, which clarifies the language a little better to meet the intent of the West, of the previous regulations while still matching the word ownership instead of family or business. Mm-hmm. So does anybody have any questions on that?
We're in support.
Thank you.
Of the amendment.
I move the amendment distributed on the white paper.
Second.
As well as the rest of
Been moved and seconded.
And one clarification on that. Mm-hmm. The amendment that Commissioner Fritz is basically changing the section 33.110.212.D2 to say on lots of record, lot remnants, or combinations thereof, instead of the word sites that we used. But it is correct to use those longer lots of records because it's more precise. But if we make the change there, it would be good to make the change in 33.110.212.C3 also for the rest of the city.
And I agree with that and incorporate it in the request in my amendment.
Oh, thank you.
All right. Carla, can you please call the vote on the amendment?
Saltzman?
Aye.
Leonard?
Aye.
Fritz?
Aye.
Fish?
Aye.
Adams.
Aye.
Amendment is approved.
That's the end of that package.
Does anyone wish to testify on this matter? Any further council discussion? Thank you very much for your excellent work.
Thank
Carla,
you.
Would you... Oh, it's non-emergency.
Nope.
Well, then let me just take the opportunity while you're here to thank you very much for your diligent work on this, and also my colleagues for your patience with our detail-oriented work, and indeed your enthusiasm in some cases about our detail-oriented work, and also to thank my chief of staff, Tom Bizzo, who worked really hard on it.
Yes, he did. Thank you.
Thank you.
I want to thank Amy Rees and Bureau of Planning and Sustainability. All right, we're recessed till 3 o'clock.
Nice surprise.
Yeah. The guy with the bill. Yeah. Tom Potter went up.